My name is Phyllis Frances Waddle. I still vividly remember the day of the shooting. I was working for my father in his dental office for a summer job. It was 1,300 block of Guadalupe, so we were very close to the UT tower. We had a little radio in the reception room, so we heard when the news started breaking, they broke into the music and said that there was a shooting going on at the UT tower. And of course, I ran out into the street to look and saw puffs of smoke coming from the tower and didn't realize actually how dangerous that was at the time. But we kept listening to the radio very closely. I knew who Paul Bolton was because he was the grandfather of my friend, Paul Sontag, and he was giving the announcement of what was happening at the tower shooting. There was also another reporter that was reporting from Brackenridge Emergency Room, where they were bringing the victims in to the emergency room, and he was reading off a lengthy list of victims or injuries. And he came to Paul Sontag, and Paul Bolton stopped him. He said, "Excuse me, read that again." And he said, "Paul Sontag." And you could hear the silence from Paul Bolton, realizing that it was his grandson that, and I don't know at that time if they were saying they were still alive or if they had died. So I don't know at that point. But I think that moment was what is so vivid in my memory was Mr. Bolton asking for them to repeat Paul's name and just how devastating that must have been to hear that, not expecting to hear your family member being involved in the shooting. But, of course, I knew Paul Sontag, so I knew his name, and it was just a moment of disbelief that I would know someone that was involved in the shooting. But I did know Paul very well. I had gone to junior high and high school with him. In early high school years, when the Beatles became real popular and they had the long, straight hair, a couple of young men in our class wanted to look like the Beatles, and Paul was one of them. He had this heavy, wavy hair. It was gorgeous, but he wanted it to be straight. So he and a friend went to the drugstore and bought a Tony permanent kit because my friend and I assured them that we could straighten their hair by combing the perm through it. And so they sat in my kitchen, my family's kitchen, and we combed and combed and combed. I don't think we straightened their hair, but it was a good story. That was probably my greatest memory of Paul, except that I just always remember him having a smile on his face. And in fact, when I looked back at his senior picture, he was so stern in his senior picture, and I thought, why were you being so stern? He never looked like that. He was always happy and friendly, and just everyone loved him. So it was really sad for our classmates to realize that this tragedy had hit us so close. A few hours later, we heard a lot of sirens close to my father's dental office and learned that the apartment building about a block and a half from our office was where they were finding the mother of Charles Whitman, who he had murdered there. So it was surrounding us that day. And, of course, by the end of the day, the carnage was... you were hearing about the carnage over the news, over TV, and it was, of course, the national coverage at that point. The coverage continued for hours, and I really don't know what happened at that point. We had, you know, back then it was just all that we could get in Austin was KTBC, one station, Channel 7. And you usually only had one set in the house. So there were, of course, we had to go home then the end of the evening to see anything as far as video coverage. Everything else was on the radio, and we kept it going all day and all afternoon, just listening to what, and of course, they were just repeating what was, they were almost a blow-by-blow of what was happening down there on campus. Well, I think it was the first time I'd ever been so closely connected to that type of violence. We just had... Austin had just been such a carefree town, and actually even we were even kind of unaware of the Vietnam situation that was happening. It hadn't really been the forefront of the news yet, and so it was. I think it just made me realize that there were a lot of people that were really affected, and it affected me as far as just thinking how easily that all happened. And then you start hearing the stories of other people that, a friend of a friend, that either was paralyzed or lost a family member, and some that were just happened to be there for the day, visiting to go up in the tower. And, you know, you always wonder, what if? Every reunion we've had, we've always memorialized our deceased members of the class. So one year we were at the Zilker Gardens. This last year we just had our 50th, and we had a memorial service at the Old Austin High on Rio Grande, which is now ACC campus. but we always... We always recognized the members who had passed on from our class. That was that was always a big part of the weekend. But I still pass the home where they lived and think about him every time I do.